For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
And good afternoon and welcome into the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show here at 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. It's 3:32 in the p.m. on Friday, December the 9th, 2022. Chris Arps, how are you doing this afternoon?
Tim, I'm doing quite well. You sound much better than you did at the beginning of the week. Mm-hmm. That bourbon and rest must have done you well.
Lots of hot toddies. No, yes. I wish. I haven't actually touched a drop of alcohol in about 6 days, so I'm going to tie one on tonight.
There you go.
No, thank you. I'm about at 80%. Still got a mini frog and a little tadpole in the throat, but I'm doing better. Stell, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing good, thanks.
Good to have Stell here as well. Katie Fitzpatrick, of course, out on maternity leave, but we're rocketing towards the holidays and the new year, and Katie will be back the first week of January. And hopefully, Stell, we can continue to use your excellent skills in some shape, form, or fashion.
I hope so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we hope so as well.
Becky hopes that you stay in touch because I told her you had a great Greek chicken recipe, so
that's
she
right.
is looking forward to that.
Thanks
so,
for the reminder.
You have to stay in touch.
All right. I'll write it down for you. Okay. That's fine.
All right. It is Friday, which means we've got Zach Smith at 4:25 and, of course, Dr. Aaron Hedlund at 5:25, in addition to our two regular guests that we have for your listening pleasure every Friday afternoon. We've got Jason Sneed, Chris, joining us in our next segment. He is the executive director of the Honest Elections Project. And Chris Arps, who doesn't want honest elections?
Everyone should want honest elections, but some of the moves that the Democrats have made over the years and over the generations would tell you that that is not the case. There was pending legislation, I think it was House Bill, Senate Bill 1, which wanted to take elections and federalize them and take them local control away. So everyone says that they want clean elections, but sometimes the Democrats' actions and words, legislation says otherwise.
Yeah, just look at that. It's funny how the Democrats are suddenly acting like these arguments about election integrity just popped up. I mean, the jokes about the machinery that Democrats have created over the last couple hundred years. I mean, we could probably do a couple shows with Stell alone on the legends that came out of the Chicago political machine. We had a political machine here in Missouri known as the Pendergast era that Harry S. Truman was part and parcel of. But Stell, I mean, we used to be able to tell funny jokes about Democrats and stealing elections because of areas like Chicago, St. Louis, Kansas City, Detroit, Philadelphia. You probably grew up with talking about a lot of those.
Oh my goodness,
the lamp across the room.
Yeah, the history in Chicago, Philadelphia, some of the other cities that you mentioned, now it's spread to Atlanta and other metropolitan areas. And I sit back and I look back on what happened over the last 20 years or so. And to me, it's like the tentacles of the Democratic machine centered in cities like Chicago, Detroit, and Philadelphia. Those tentacles have stretched into other metropolitan areas, and that bothers me a lot.
You know, the political system process sometimes seems to attract absolute scumbags and the worst of people, and you know, it's gotten a bad rap being a politician. I think their ratings are somewhere down there. Tim, I apologize for this. Attorneys and used car salesmen, but
that's why I'm on the radio, so nobody can throw things at me anymore.
There you go. But Becky and I were honored last night to go to a good friend of ours and a good friend of the show. She had a campaign kickoff, Linda Ragsdale. Mm-hmm. She's running for O'Fallon County Council, Ward 5, I think it is. She had a kickoff out there, and it was widely attended for a rainy Thursday afternoon. So, Linda Ragsdale, congratulations, good luck, and you know, we support you, Becky and I, 1,000%, and we know you're going to win.
It's great when political activists and grassroots organizers like Linda, who have been involved and who understand the process and the public policy so well, go, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to jump into the ring and I'm going to throw my name on the ballot. So I wish her all the best as well.
And if I know Linda Ragsdale, she's going to work very, very hard for that seat and shake a lot of hands and knock on a lot of doors and meet a lot of voters. And when they do, I think they'll see that she is the right person to represent them in the fifth ward.
And those are such important seats. Mm-hmm. Chris, I spoke to a lady this morning out of Florida who said that, yes, there was not much of a red wave on the federal level elections, but she runs a group called Best Educations for Students Together. And she said there was a horde of victories for people who ran on the parental rights platform in school board elections across the country. We don't pay attention to that much in Missouri in November because our school board elections are in April. But I'm very happy to see that we as Republicans, conservatives, libertarians, anybody on the center right side of the political spectrum, we are re-engaging in these local races. That's the farm team, people.
Yeah, and that's where it starts. You know, a lot of people say that the reason that these school boards and these teachers and these curriculums have gotten out of control is because the parents have not been attending school board meetings and really keeping abreast of what's going on in the schools. And so the teachers and the administrators took that as carte blanche to introduce this crazily left-wing, woke, transgender agenda. And as we've said many times, COVID made parents aware of that, and they started running for school boards, and we see much change, and I don't see that movement ending anytime soon.
Chris, when we come back, Jason Sneed with the Honest Elections Project, he told me that he would be very happy to speak with you about the national effort of citizen-only voting, so he definitely would love to speak with you about that and your involvement with that. He also wants to tell us, Chris, you'll be excited to hear about this too, the Honest Elections Project has launched a brand new initiative called Stop Ranked Choice Voting. They have formed a new coalition that I know we'll be interested in, and they've got some model legislation out there. So all of our legislative friends, I'm thinking of Nick Schroer, Adam Schwadron, Ben Brown, Bill Eigel, Mary Elizabeth Coleman, and others, listen up, because this issue, Chris, is probably going to come back to Missouri. They're going to probably try again.
Definitely. Moderates and those of that ilk, and I don't mean that in a derogatory term, but they know that they cannot be elected unless they are able to split the vote somehow or have a crazy voting scheme where you need a calculus and a slide rule and an abacus to figure out what the elections are. And that's how Lisa Murkowski slides in every 6 years and gets another term. Now, this time was ranked choice voting, but the other time, you know, remember she ran as an independent when she lost the primary. So I don't know. Elections, you think it's such a simple thing. You go, you vote, you count the votes, see who gets the most votes. It's over. Why have we just made something just so complicated? I don't understand.
Yeah, I heard somebody the other day, Chris, say, you know, Republicans are still like standing for office. They're like campaigning with a policy platform. Whereas, like what you said, Democrats are figuring out everything under the sun to game the system instead of just voting on election day for the best person on the ballot.
Yeah. And they've got a built-in defense that if you try to challenge any of it, you're a racist or you know.
Racist, sexist, misogynist, transphobic, so, you know, you name it.
It's a perfect scheme.
Exactly. All right, we'll come back with Jason Sneed, the executive director of the Honest Elections Project. We'll talk about citizen-only voting, ranked choice voting, and what's going on in the states on all of those issues when Chris and I return on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. It's 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
The one that we have here in the U.S. is pretty clear. In the United States, you get to say, as an American citizen, what you believe, period. And under no circumstances ever may the government infringe on that right, period. Again, that's the First Amendment. And thanks to the Twitter files revealed on Friday night, we know the First Amendment has been violated more profoundly than at any time in our lives. Miranda Devine of the New York Post has just reported the FBI met, quote, weekly with Twitter executives in the months before the 2020 election. And in those meetings, the FBI specifically warned about hack and leak operations by state actors that would involve Hunter Biden and would, quote, likely come out in October. Oh.
A lot of funny business with the last election cycle, despite the fact that the Democrats, Chris, assured us it was the most pristine, perfect election ever.
Well, of course, they're going to say that, especially when they win. But these Twitter file, Twitter 2.0 is amazing. Just the lengths that they went to keep the American people from knowing the truth and shadow banning and blacklisting people, which was the big revelation that came out today.
And it's amazing who's been publishing all of this. Both of the current authors of Twitter Files 1.0 and 2.0 are not conservative commentators or published authors. Matt Taibbi is a center left, kind of an old school liberal guy. Mm-hmm. And Barry Weiss used to write for the New York Times. So I think that's driving the left even more insane.
Yeah, I think what's happening is those two gentlemen are listening to News Talk STL, where we said that there are many, many Pulitzer Prize waiting out there for some enterprising journalists who'd like to win one, because the story is out there that's very low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of these shenanigans that the progressive left is trying to foist upon our electoral system with Jason Sneed, the executive director of the Honest Elections Project, honestelections.org. Jason, good afternoon. And welcome to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. Great to have you with us today.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. Jason, as we kick things off here, would you tell our listeners, you know, unlike some of the labeling that the left loves to give certain legislative items and maybe organizations they have, you all at the Honest Elections Project, that's really what you want, right, Jason? Tell us what the Honest Elections Project, why it was established, and what you all do.
Well, we are a nationwide advocacy group that is backing everyone's right to vote in free and fair elections. So we engage here in Washington and in all 50 states, helping to develop, advance, and defend laws that make it easier to vote and harder to cheat. This is absolutely essential. It's also very basic, pro-democracy, pro-republic type stuff. But yes, we really do want honest elections, and we want to have elections where voters make the decisions about who runs our country and that they can trust the system that delivers them the election results.
Jason, we have you on today because, of course, we want to learn more about the organization, but we also wanted to talk to you about ranked choice voting. Our ranked choice voting tried to get a foothold here. It really didn't get a chance, but I'm sure it's going to raise its ugly head again. Where exactly did ranked choice voting come from? Was it in some back hallways in academia that it came from? Was it from some social activist group? And how did it gain a footing so quickly into the mainstream?
Well, we have to understand that no idea comes out of the blue. It all kind of feeds into a system. And right now on the left, the entire system is focused on trying to fundamentally reshape elections for partisan gain. So they are looking for every opportunity to change the way that we vote, to change who can vote, change how you vote, in order to, as they say, change the process to determine an outcome. And ranked choice voting fits into an increasingly extreme agenda that we see from progressive activists all over the country by fundamentally reshaping elections. You all tangled with this in Missouri, so you know what this looks like. Instead of voting for one person in a race, you vote for multiple candidates and rank order them, and then you go through rounds of tabulation, eliminate ballots and candidates, disenfranchising voters along the way. It does sound very much like some academic theory that got spun off and people thought, hey, we can try this in the real world. But in practice, it is confusing, it is complicated, and it fundamentally reshapes elections in ways that seem designed to make it harder for conservative and principled candidates to run for office and get elected.
Jason, doesn't ranked choice voting fly in the very face of our U.S. Constitution, the concept of one person, one vote? So it may not ultimately be lawful or constitutional. And because of that, hasn't your organization formed a brand new coalition to try and stop it as folks spread out across the states to try to implement it?
Well, that's absolutely right, and I'm glad you brought this up. This new coalition is called Stop RCV. RCV is short for ranked choice voting, of course. And it has a brand new website, stoprcv.com. I encourage folks to go check that website out. You can get really, really good detailed information explaining what ranked choice voting is, where it comes from, and importantly, how to stop it. We've actually developed model legislation that people can take to the members of their state legislatures that would ban ranked choice voting. This is the way that this gets rolled out across the country. And this is the same practice that the left uses in all sorts of areas, right? They start small, they normalize, and then they try to spin it out. So all across the country, there is a push to start using ranked choice voting in school board elections, in municipal elections, in local races. And then once it's there and it's entrenched and people get a little bit used to it, then they argue we should be using it statewide, and eventually they'll argue that we ought to be using it for federal elections too. That's the way they work. And we think it's important to stop that process and defend traditional elections. So StopRCV.com is going to be a great resource for folks. We have a national coalition of state and federal organizations that are backing this. And we've got the legislative language to help put the pin in this right now.
Jason, I think Tim told you about my work with Americans for Citizen Voting, where we help grassroots and legislatures help amend their state constitution to say that only United States citizens can vote. I've done press conferences with the secretaries of state of Ohio and Louisiana and in Georgia. It's passed in Ohio. The vote in Louisiana is tomorrow. It's been by overwhelming elections. My question for you is, having non-citizens vote in our elections, does that ensure honest elections?
Well, I think that we should be ensuring that only citizens vote in American elections, and actually most people would agree with that. I'm sure you've seen some of the polling.
Yes, we've done
national polling and consistently seen, you know, more than 80, almost 90% of Americans think that you should have to be an American to vote in American elections. So I was very glad to see my home state of Ohio pass a constitutional amendment banning non-citizen voting. But this is another one of these extreme ideas that the left is pushing. And I live in Washington, D.C., or just outside of the nation's capital right now. And the D.C. City Council has voted on a bill to allow illegal aliens who are only in the city for 30 days to vote. Whether you're a citizen or not doesn't matter. It was so extreme, even the Washington Post editorial board called that bill radical. But this is popping up in more and more places. So I'm very glad for the work that you're doing, making sure that we're preserving the rights of citizens to vote in our elections.
We're speaking to Jason Sneed, who's the executive director of the Honest Elections Project, talking about ranked choice voting, citizen-only voting, and more. Jason, how about we talk about the proof being in the pudding? The far left, even the president of the United States, said that if Georgia, for example, would undertake electoral integrity reforms, it would be Jim Crow 2.0. I mean, Jason, based upon these last elections we've had in Georgia, where I think we've seen record turnout, isn't the opposite true when you ensure honest, free, fair elections, easy to vote, hard to cheat?
Oh, yeah. And look, we have known for years now that the voter suppression narrative is a lie that the left uses when it's politically expedient. And they came out of the woodwork to attack Georgia and every other red state that passed laws that make voting easier and cheating harder in the last 2 years. They said that when Georgia passed its election integrity reform, that it was going to suppress the vote, make it impossible to vote. The president said that it made Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle, which is one of the weirder things that he has said. And that's really saying something. But nevertheless, it all fell apart in the November and then in the December runoff elections in November. You saw almost as many people in the November election vote early as had voted early in a presidential election. And we know midterm elections typically see far lower turnout, but turnout was high. It was nearly the same as a historic 2018 midterm. So we're watching trends be broken. We're watching people easily vote. And I actually went down into the Atlanta area on election day in November and talked to Georgians as they were casting their votes. And I'll tell you this, not one of them said it was hard to vote. In fact, there were no lines. They all said it was easy. They said that they thought you should have to show ID. That was just common sense. All these lines of attack that the left opened just kind of fell apart. And it didn't really matter whether you were talking to people voting Republican or Democrat. Everyone agreed it should be easy to vote and hard to cheat. But of course, they're not going to give up the narrative because, as we know, the ironic part about arguing for voter suppression is that they actually use it as a get-out-the-vote tactic, right? And they know it's too important to give up, so they're going to continue to peddle this lie. And unfortunately, that's going to, I think, do damage to the credibility of elections going forward as they try continuously to gut election integrity laws that Americans overwhelmingly want.
Jason, I think everyone on the right part of the spectrum would agree that the elections had a lot of things that made people question them, with ballot harvesting, with people going to these drop boxes in the middle of the night. But why is it so hard to prove enough illegality, I guess, in elections to possibly overturn them? Why is it such a hard thing to prove? you know, the liberals will say, oh, well, there are these cases of these people voting or this illegality, but it's only a small number. But we know that there probably is much larger numbers. Why is it always hard to prove real voter fraud in large enough numbers to change elections?
Well, you know, proving voter fraud is a difficult thing. It needs a lot of evidence to be able to back up the claims. Developing that evidentiary record takes time. Oftentimes, unfortunately, prosecutors don't devote the attention and resources that they need to actually investigate concerns related to voter fraud or follow up with prosecutions. That's a problem that states are starting to tackle. In Florida, for instance, they've developed an election integrity task force at the state level that actually has as its mission to investigate allegations of election fraud or election crimes and actually go after those and follow up prosecutions. I think that's a model for other states to follow. But that's part of it. It does happen, though. And if you go to, I used to work at the Heritage Foundation, mm-hmm. and they've got a fantastic voter fraud database that I encourage folks to check out. There are certainly cases, though, as rare as it is, where enough evidence is brought forward to a judge that that ballots have been tampered with or that enough fraud happened to affect the outcome of an election, and elections have been overturned. One of the biggest high-profile ones was in North Carolina 4 years ago when people were engaged in vote trafficking. And they were working for the Republican congressional candidate in the North Carolina 9th District, but they tampered with or destroyed hundreds of ballots. And this is one of the key things that and it's why I always argue for more integrity laws, not fewer, mm-hmm. because the only reason that we know this happened was because you had to sign on absentee ballots a witness statement. And there were actually just people sitting around signing the same witness signature over and over and over again. And that was one of the data points that helped people to find that the fraud had occurred and it had so and had disenfranchised so many people that they needed to hold a new election. And those are the sorts of laws that the left is always going after, making it even harder to identify problems with our election system.
Jason, we got about 1 minute left. Would you just remind our listeners and any of our legislative members of the Show Me State who are listening, a reminder as to where they can go for more information on how to stop ranked choice voting?
Well, you can check out our website, honestelections.org, and you can also go to stoprcv.com. StopRCV is the brand new coalition that we've got going, and we've got the model legislation right there, and I'm happy to work with anyone to help prevent this extreme remaking of the election system. We want to make it easy to vote. We want to make it hard to cheat. And above all, we want to make sure that we've got an election system that is transparent and accountable to the voters. Ranked choice voting really is the wrong choice for elections in America. And I think that we need to be doing everything we can to defend that traditional voting system that makes it easy to vote and hard to cheat.
Jason, thank you so much for all you're doing for the entire nation. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Back right after this at News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.